TSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Friday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. We get together every weekday at this time as we wrap up this week on this Friday. Once again, want to remind you to give us a call if you've been reading your Bible, come across something you don't understand. And today's a special day because we have with us attorney Brad Dacus from Pacific Justice Institute, representing people like you and me against unfair rules and misinterpretation of laws and things like that. And so we're really, really glad that he's with us. And welcome to the program, Brad.
Oh, it's always a pleasure, Mike. Thank you for the opportunity.
And, so today's kind of a special day because, you know, free legal advice, that's always a good thing, I think. And, once again, if you're on the Big Island of Hawaii, I'll be speaking at Kona Coast Fellowship in Kona, Hawaii off Aaliyah Drive. And, you're invited to come. I know you'll have a good time if you do. It's right behind the Kona Inn Shopping Center. They're on the lawn right on the water. So it's really neat. In fact, we were there one time and we actually watched the whales out in the water. So if you're out there, we're going to be talking about the last days. You know, we're living in some exciting times. And so I want to encourage you, if you are in the Big Island area this Sunday at 10 o'clock, Kona Coast Fellowship in Kona, Hawaii, there off Aaliyah Drive and right behind the Kona Coast mall. And I know you'll have a good time if you have a chance, the shopping center there. And there'll be a sign out on the sidewalk. You just walk between the breezeway. You're out there on the water and it's beautiful. Want to invite everybody 10 o'clock this Sunday. Now, Brad, lots of things going on in the world, man. I'll tell you, we're finding all this wasted money, $4 trillion with nowhere to trace it to, what's your take on all this? I mean, if Kamala Harris would have gotten into office, none of this would be going on. None of it. Not one thing. And we're finding overwhelming evidence of complete fraud, dishonesty. Your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, we've always heard about, well, there's government waste and there's fraud. But we had no idea, at least I had no idea, the depth and the breadth of the fraud and the waste that's come to the surface. It has been shocking. Many Americans feel the same way. But you're absolutely right. You know, we've heard a lot of talk in the past from both sides of the aisle. Oh yeah, there's government waste and fraud and we need to cut spending. It's always been rhetoric up until now. And now we actually seeing it addressed. And it's interesting because the time in which we're addressing it, because we're also at a point where the national debt is such that we have no wiggle room. We have to either greatly raise taxes or have a booming economy with more than a 10% GDP increase in the gross domestic product, which is highly unlikely, or three, we have to cut spending. And in the process, it has been uncovered so much fraud and waste and abuse. So it's also shocking to see how a lot of this money has been used to fund evil in the United States and outside the United States. Once again, very shocking and surprising.
Yeah, you know, I'm just absolutely shocked by the Democrats that they're objecting to really finding out the fraud. Now, I've always told people, if there's ever an audit in your company, the people that are screaming the loudest are the ones that have been guilty of the steal. And I don't know here what exactly is going on, but I'll tell you. And then Hakeem Jeffries, who's the Democrat leader of the House, he goes, well, it's been 3.5 weeks or 3 weeks and the price of eggs has not come down. You know, I'm really shocked that they think that a magic wand is going to be waved to bring back the millions of chickens that the previous administration killed. It just doesn't happen that way. You know, I don't think we're going to see really what Trump is doing as fact is affecting our wallets probably until June or July even, because of the mass train wreck that they're discovering. I mean, you know, Brad, when you're looking at $4 trillion, what is it in the IRS? They can't find where this money went. $4 trillion.
Yeah, it's
staggering.
It's staggering. It's shocking. But, you know, these agencies, they're on the retreat. Now, the IRS has been known for more than two decades now, as even back to the Clinton administration, as an entity that was abusing its power, targeting Christians, targeting ministries, pastors. It wasn't any up for grabs. I mean, it was just very clear and obvious. I know of ministries and ministers who'd been just clearly targeted. And so we've seen them abuse their powers. We've seen the Department of Justice terribly abuse their powers over the last 4 years, targeting pro-life people while not lifting a finger hardly to defend all the churches that are vandalized and have violence against them. And then we have the FBI declaring that parents are domestic terrorists if they attend school board meetings and say anything that comes across as threatening in any way. So we've seen a tremendous abuse of their function, much less their finances, and we're seeing that all addressed. The White House president announced the formation of a White House office for investigating against Christian bigotry and hostility. Then the Department of Justice, the Attorney General, was requested, and she has formed a task force to investigate all the agencies for anti-Christian bigotry and bias. It's a new day. It's clearly a new day, and we're going to see some bumps in the road, but I'm very optimistic that we have what I've always been waiting for and, like many Americans, thought I'd never see.
Amen. Well, today's your day. If you have a legal question for our attorney here, Brad Dacus, again, from Pacific Justice Institute, pji.org, and you can ask him a question if you have one of those. Well, to the phones we go. We have Lito on the line, Spokane, Washington. Hi and welcome.
Good morning or good afternoon, guys, and thank you for taking my call. My question is, we have members of our church would like to take communion every week, and I'm just curious on your thoughts on that.
Well, I know some churches do that. I believe John Corson, when he was the pastor of Applegate Christian Fellowship there in Oregon, Grants Pass, Oregon, I believe he had communion every Sunday. Now, I don't know if he had it at all the different services. I know he had several. The Bible says, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. So there's no prohibition on doing it every day if you wanted to. But I think the only danger is where it may become a ritual rather than part of a relationship. But other than that, there's nothing in the Bible that I know of. Brad, any thoughts?
You know, I think you said it well. It's a part of a relationship, and the more frequently we do things, sometimes it becomes very regimented, very religious. But on the flip side, it's also very important. Jesus says, commanded us, do this in remembrance of me. And there's a spiritual, it's not just a, oh, it's nice to remember about Jesus. There's a spiritual aspect to it as well when we're warned about, how we take it in our heart. Is our heart right, et cetera? So it's something that we need to do, but we need to be careful not to do it so much that it becomes just religiosity. I know of churches that have it every week. I've had it, seen other churches have it once a month, once a quarter. I think there's a lot of grace there, and churches can go either way, and I just think they need to seek the Lord on that.
So I hope that helps.
It helps absolutely immensely. Thank you, gentlemen. That's kind of what I was thinking. So it helps me answer some questions, and I thank you once again.
Yeah, amen. And stay in line if you like. Lito, send you out some books and DVDs. And that's not to say that if your church is not doing it every day or once a week, if it's only once a month, that's all right too. But I really believe that, again, the whole idea of Jesus wanting us to remember him by a special event that happened in the Old Testament when the death angel passed over the land of Israel and land of Egypt, and the people of Israel who believed God's promises put the blood on the door and on the lintel. The death angel passed over. So Jesus is our Paschal lamb that took away our sins and causes the death angel to pass over us. Death doesn't hurt us anymore. You see, again, to live is Christ, Paul says, to die is gain. Stay on the line, we'll get you taken care of. And with that, we'll go to Michael, Idaho. Hi, welcome.
Hi, pastors.
Yes, how may we help?
My question is, in Genesis, my buddy showed me a while ago, it talks about the sky turning into the water, or the water turning into the sky, and he says that's where man came from the water. And he showed me on his phone, but I can't find it anywhere. And I don't work with him anymore, so I can't, you know, ask him further about it.
Well, the Bible doesn't say we came from the water and the sky. The Bible says we were created by God and we see the whole order of creation laid out. And so I don't know what that question would really be, because I don't find anywhere in the Bible where, you know, the water and the sky and the water, and this is where man came from. So I don't know. Am I misreading this? Please help me.
It's just weird how, you know, he said that it's something to do with the water in Genesis, the water and the sky, and then that's, maybe the water is the color of the sky, or the sky is the color of the water, and then that's where man came from, which it didn't make sense to me because we didn't come from waters. We don't have tails. We can't.
No. It's not in the Bible. That's just not there. I'm sorry. He may have come up with something else. Any last thoughts, Brad, on that one?
Yeah. Genesis 2:7, it says it real clearly. It says, Then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being, period. Real clear. So we just got to go back to the word, and maybe this person, it maybe is misunderstood. I don't know, but the word is very, very, very clear here.
I hope that helps.
Clear. It does. Dang it. I wish I still worked with him so I can, you know, show him this part.
Yeah, I'm really amazed. People come up with some pretty unusual ideas by simply not following God's word. Hope that helps. Michael, stay online, send you out a couple of books, couple of DVDs I can get to you, and I think you'll enjoy them. Share them with your friends. Let's go to Carrie, Glendive, Montana. Hi, and welcome.
Hi, brothers. My question is for advice from Brad, please.
Yes.
Of course, I'm sure that everyone listening has just been traumatized by the hostages that we got back from, that they got back from Hamas. And I wanted to ask Mr. Dacus if these monsters that they're uncovering in our White House and all of our government agencies, local, state, and federal, not only as part of their mafia industry, we need to take a closer look. I stepped into a human child trafficking ring last year. It'll be a year in March, which is hard to believe, that no one at all has responded to my request. I was an eyewitness, I believe, to two children murdered in Wisconsin.
Okay.
Brad, your thoughts.
Yeah, well, did you report that to the police?
State police, sheriff, local police, no one. They let them go. My life was threatened as well.
They let the murderer go. You identified the murderer and they identified the bodies and there was no prosecution?
Here, Brad, because I still feel that I am definitely not safe. And but I just wondered if you could get my information from to Every Man and Answer from Pastor Mike, and call me with some advice, because like I said, this will be a year, March 16th of 2024. And I've reached up to every level, even the USMS.
Huh. And has anyone accused you of being having psychological issues or mental issues, or do they have you examined by a psychiatrist at all?
Oh, not at all. There was a woke hospital that I was taken to. The police that I had called, I ran. I got off the bus. The bus driver didn't want to let me. He was in on the assault on the two children in the middle of the night. I called the state police onto the bus. Two of them came onto the bus. They were obviously a cloud of smoke from pot smoking. Now, this is on the commercial buses. I was a payer, just a rider traveling back from my mother's funeral from Ohio to Montana. And this is not the first time that my apartment's been broken into. It just seems to me like it's so organized. So this would be Department of Transportation. They refuse to talk to me. And insurance companies. If I can tell, you can, these people are dangerous monsters. And they threatened my life as well with, they were going to give me drugs. And then I called the sheriff in because I thought I was having a heart attack, literally. I do have a chronic disease that I was born with, so I couldn't tell if it was just a panic attack, and it was, I'm sure, all of the above. But this is something that I want to know. Who in the world is going to take on the big, big mafia?
Yeah. Do you know of anyone that's watching you, stalking you? Do you feel, have those feelings that they're watching you or anything like that?
I think that's what I'm trying to say is I don't know who it is, but it's obvious. I've got them on film.
Okay. We could talk. You can maybe send me that information. We can talk later and find out, because it is peculiar that if you have material on film, video, you've eyewitness, testified, there's two kids that you know for a fact that were murdered, and you identified the murderer, and the police didn't investigate. It's just very unusual, so there's different angles to this I'm sort of curious about. So if you want to send me some information to look at, maybe the story of what happened, where the names and all the information you have, then I can look at that and then find out where to go from there. Feel free to send it to to PJI. You can just send it to PREZ. PJI.org. PJI.org. I'll be happy to look at it.
And that'll help you, Carrie, because again, I know that there is bad stuff out there. I know that they've worked their way in. See, what has happened nationally, and this is a sad thing, the good cops, the good ICE agents, all the good people, as they continue to risk their lives to bring criminals in, and then the liberal appointed judges let them go, they get frustrated. I'm risking my life for nothing. So they quit. Well, then what happens is you begin to find people in the gangs infiltrating the ICE. They had one they just brought out last week. An ICE agent was involved in trafficking humans. And so what happens as the good people get so frustrated and leave, then the criminal element then infiltrates these different organizations. Or if it's politically motivated. In other words, the person who murdered these children that you saw may have been an illegal alien. And of course, this is all being suppressed. Now it's coming to light, but it's been this way for, well, probably at least the last 3 or 4 years. And there's a lot of political stuff that goes on, why things are not dealt with as they should be. So I really believe that we have to look at what's going on here. I think, Brad, you're the best person in the world I know to talk to about that. Again, give her your web address.
Sure. The web address is Prez, so it's P-R-E-Z, P-R-E-Z at P-J-I-dot-org. www.ni.org. One last question. Have you talked to your pastor at your church, and are you attending a church regularly?
I try to. Unfortunately, this is the most heartbreaking part of it all, except for the children that I saw them putting out with drugs and everything for thousands of miles, and was in fear of my life for thousands of miles. And there was another man also that I don't even know if he made it back to Montana alive. And the pastor
did,
here.
You talk to your pastor about it? Does he, do you attend church, or do they, have they shunned you aside and, you know, say you're crazy?
I will not go back there. They sent me a, they haven't called. This has been a year ago. I called them again and again, and I was afraid to go because I didn't want to put anyone in jeopardy that, you know, in the congregation.
Well, what you want to do, again, I think that, again, the best thing you can do, Carrie, is go ahead and contact Brad at prez@pji.org. And let him know the details. If you have pictures, facts, very important, that'll verify your story. And then perhaps this can be looked into. It may be something much larger than just a local precinct in a police department. This may require the new FBI to come in and take a look at what's going on here. Because we do know that a lot of the things gone on have been very corrupted. We know that as ICE was attempting to make an arrest in Aurora, Colorado, someone within the department, one of the departments, tipped him off and told him to leave. Then you have AOC, who's a representative, telling illegals how to avoid capture with ICE, aiding and abetting, which, by the way, I think is a high crime, and there's probably some prosecution headed her way. But when we realize this corruption is so deep, it's like a massive cancer with its little roots growing out into every single aspect of our society. And this, I believe, is why you find such a fit being thrown by people who I believe were on the take, or at least their organizations were on the take. Otherwise, everybody wants to find out who's been wasting our money, who's been hiring all these people that sat around. I mean, there isn't a person in the world that hasn't gone down the road and seen one guy digging a hole and four people standing around him watching him while he digs the hole. We are aware of it. We all seen it. So I believe that, again, this is part of corruption in many different levels. Call Brad, and he'll be able to help you, Carrie, because I know that this is a serious issue. And for the sake of those children that you saw that were murdered, I think that that would be a very, very important thing.
Also, Terry, if you could, if it's not too much trouble, if you don't mind, if you could give me the contact information of your church and your pastor, because I'm sure you've talked to them, and I'd love to hear their perspective on it as well. That could be helpful.
Stay online, Carrie. We'll get you out some books and DVDs. And, again, write that, get that email sent off immediately. Okay.
I certainly will. Thank you so much. Take care.
Carrie, God bless you. Thanks for the call, and relief is on its way. Let's go to Tom, Meridian, Idaho. Hi, welcome.
Yeah, I have a question for Brad.
Yes.
Since we know that separation of church and state is not in the Constitution, it was just a letter that was in a letter that Thomas Jefferson wrote. Has that ever been challenged in the Supreme Court?
So that's a really good question, and that phrase came alive again in the 1940s in an interesting case. It was religious freedom. And the progressive left just latched onto it and started using it to justify sterilizing the open marketplace from Christianity and faith, and for this public schools, the public square. And they came up with something called the Lemon Test to use to make it very difficult for faith to survive in anything associated with government or the public in public square. So that's where things were. And then we started seeing the court shift with Justice Rehnquist. And then we had a majority on the Supreme Court that said, you know what, we're not for strict separation of church and state anymore. We're more for, hey, government can't be just preferential of one religion over another. But we still had the Lemon Test. And then, you know, President Trump was elected in 2016. He appointed three new judges on the Supreme Court. And they looked at it and they said, this Lemon Test is a bunch of baloney. The Constitution doesn't require this Lemon Test, which is very strict and stringent. And they said, you know what? As long as the government action is not overtly preferential of one denomination or one church or one religion over another, then faith can reign and faith can be allowed the same place in the open marketplace and in the public schools or as anywhere else, as long as it's not proselytizing children in the classroom, as long as it's not pushing for one particular religious doctrine over another. And so this has opened up the door all in an incredible way. We're seeing great case law. We at Pacific Justice Institute, you know, we work to get the Ten Commandments in every classroom in the state of Louisiana. In Texas, we got them to pass a law saying that you can have a paid chaplain in every public school in the state of Texas. We're seeing incredible movements in the right direction, and I'm very optimistic moving forward. So separation of church and state is not the monster it used to be. We now have a new sheriff and a great Supreme Court. So things are moving in the right direction.
Amen. Tom, hope that helps. Again, 8888 AskCSN is the number to call. As we go to the break, we'll come back for a whole lot more right after this.
In 2007, when Dan Steiner, president of Preborn, cried out to God, "What can I do for you?" the answer came loud and clear.
I sense God's broken heart over the issue of abortion. You see, he sees every little baby that's being formed in the mother's womb, and it breaks his heart to see when the lifetime that he has planned for them is taken from them violently so often. But if we can get a mom into one of our clinics and show her her baby, and she has that close encounter of the best kind in her womb, she will choose life.
Ultrasounds save lives. To learn more about Preborn's life-saving work, call #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or visit preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN. All gifts are tax deductible.
Let's see, if something costs less, a lot less, but people are actually happier with it, that sounds like something to look into. And that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard joining MediShare can save you or your family up to $500 a month, and that's huge, but it's also true. People are just happier with it. They love being part of something that reflects and promotes their values and what they believe in. MediShare works, too. It's been around for 30 years now, and members have shared more than $7 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network, so yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care, whether you're self-employed or part of the gig economy or you just want a plan that you're happy with. Here you go. You can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes, a very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. It's 855-91-BIBLE. That's 855-91-BIBLE, 855-91-BIBLE.
We want to welcome you back to part two of Everyman Answer here on this Friday afternoon. Looking forward to being back with you for about the next half hour. And so if you've got a question you'd like to ask us, that number to call again, 8888-ASK-CSN. And we have with us Brad Dacus from Pacific Justice Institute and a lawyer and his team representing people like you and me against unfair things. And there's a lot of them out there. So it's good that we have someone that represents us in these kind of cases. Once again, if you're in the Big Island over in the Kona area, I'll be speaking at Kona Coast Fellowship off Aaliyah Drive at 10 o'clock this Sunday morning. And we're going to be doing an end times update. So if you want to know a little bit more of what's going on in the world, hey, this Sunday is your Sunday, 10 o'clock right off Aaliyah Drive, right out there by the Aaliyah Shopping Center. Just go through the breezeway there out to the lawn and you'll see the chairs set up, the tents and everything. And we're going to have a good time studying God's word together. And so again, this Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, Kona Coast Fellowship in Kona, Hawaii. Going back to the phones, we had Tom on the line. And Tom, hi and welcome.
Yeah, I was just wondering how the freedom from religion gets by with so much that they do.
Yeah, we were talking about that, Brad, and, you know, this idea of separation of church and state. The church always had a right to influence the government, but the government never had a right to influence the church.
Right.
That's what that's about.
Right.
That's what the separation of the early fathers all used the Bible for where our foundation framework for our government.
Right.
Thoughts, Brad?
Yeah, exactly. You know, our founding fathers used it. In fact, there's, you read the inauguration and the prayer and the speeches of George Washington and others, very indicative and reflective of their faith openly, publicly. With regards to the separation of church and state organizations like the Freedom From Religion Foundation, we at PJI have gone head-to-head with them more than once. For example, we defended In God We Trust on our currency. We won that for the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. That was a miracle in and of itself. But they're still aggressive, but the tides have turned. The Supreme Court has changed. And they respect the Constitution. They respect original intent and strict construction of the Constitution. So I'll be honest with you. When I see them filing a lawsuit or threatening to file a lawsuit, I don't lose any sleep over it. I just see a great opportunity to set even better case law precedent for generations to come. You know, they're bullies. We respond to those threats all the time. And, you know, that's they're just very maniac, just obsessive with fighting anything addressing God in a public way. I think they do so foolishly because the courts and the case law is not moving in their direction.
So, and looks like it may be not moving their direction for a little bit more now.
Right.
Thank you, Lord. Again, you know, our laws are designed for people that are governed by a moral conscience, not just doing what's right in our own eyes, but what's really right. And I believe one of our church fathers said our form of government is completely inadequate for people that are not self-governed. And that's true. And you can see, just because a lock is not locked doesn't give people a right to steal stuff. And this has somehow become the norm now. Well, if a car isn't locked, that's free game. I can take whatever I want. See, that's where totalitarian laws come in to govern people that will not govern themselves. And so I believe that's so important. Again, 8888-ASK-CSN is the number to call. Let's go to Liam in Washington. Hi and welcome.
Hi, Pastor. My question is in Psalm 37, verse 1, that God talked about not fretting about the wicked and not envy about wrongdoer. But my question is that how do we define, like, people claim they are Christian, but they were talking about what I listened to you earlier about fought with the government, that I know people taking care of senior elder people and get paid by that, but they don't do the job, and they keep claim at church they are godly people. So that just get on my nerve, and I don't know how we call them out, or do we call them like evil or wrongdoer?
Your thoughts, Brad?
Yeah, I'm trying to understand what you're saying. It's you're talking about people who are getting paid by the government to take care of their relatives. Is that what you're saying?
Elder people, yeah. And but they don't do their job. They just get paid by it. And of course they did.
Well, that's what's happening right now. That's what this Doge whole thing is.
Right.
All these, you know, you listen to the previous administration. Well, we added 100,000 new jobs. They were layabout jobs, government jobs, living off people's taxes, and they weren't producing anything. Now, always remember, I love what Ronald Reagan said. There's very little the federal government can do more efficiently than the private sector. In other words, the private sector is always going to do a better job. And this is one of the problems. And so if people are just getting handed out money, hey, listen, this is a dangerous place to be. And then brag about all the jobs you created when they're really not production jobs at all. They're just there for a showboat and to employ your friends. Pretty dangerous stuff. Don't you think, Brad?
Yeah, it is. And I know the government will pay relatives to take care of an elderly person sometimes because it'll cost less than the government paying for them to be in a nursing home. So that's part of the reasoning of it. But at the same time, you do end up with sometimes relatives, maybe even their children, you know, getting those checks in the mail and really not taking care of their parents. That has happened. I've seen that before. And senior citizens that are not being taken care of, they need to contact law enforcement and to be protected. But this is sort of what happens, you know, when we have government coming in. You know, historically, the children would take care of their parents when their parents got to be old. That's a moral responsibility, not to abandon your parents when they're old and they need to be taken care of. But when you have government involved, we see twisting and of it and abuse of it, and it's people taking care of other people when they don't really have a heart to do so and are just taking advantage of it, getting the money. It's something that needs to be addressed.
So I hope that helps.
Well, I don't know how do you call that person claims she is a godly Christian, but she's doing this. So do we call that a wrongdoer?
Yeah, I would talk to them and assess it. If you think that there's something deeply immoral that they're doing, they're abusing the person, they're not taking care of the person, you know, then you may want to talk to your pastor about it and let the church look into it, assuming, like you say, they go to church. So, you know, but that is legal, and government does pay relatives to take care of their elderly relatives. That's in and of itself is not illegal or necessarily even immoral, so long as they're actually being faithful and actually taking care of their loved one.
So I hope that helps.
Yes, thank you, Pastor. God bless.
Well, blessings to you. Stay online. Send you out some books and DVDs and great to share with your family and friends. Again, 8888, ask CSN, number to call. And again, we have with us today Brad Dacus, attorney at law. If you have some legal questions, legal advice, hey, today's your day. And what a blessing it is to be able to talk to not only an attorney, but a Christian attorney in that. And not only that, but it doesn't cost you anything today. So good day to call. 8888, ask CSN. Debbie's on the line, Fort Worth. Hi, welcome.
Hello, how are you guys?
Good, how may we help?
Okay, I have a question followed by another one. It kind of coincides. So I know that a lot of people, it's like once saved, always saved. I know you guys have answered this question several times. But my question, if that's the case, why do we go through judgment if you're already saved according to your works? What would be the need?
Well, we don't go through a judgment in that we are going to be condemned to hell. We go through a judgment. Paul says we all will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, some for everlasting condemnation and some for everlasting reward. Now, if a judge calls you tomorrow and says, Uncle Fred died, we have a judgment for you. You were listed in his will and we have $1 million for you. Well, that's not a bad judgment. That's a good judgment. So judgments aren't necessarily a bad thing. We are saved by grace. And the wood, the hay, the stubble, the Bible says, on that day of judgment, the things done that look spiritual but for the wrong motive will be burned up. But the things that were done with a genuine heart, those things, I believe, as the Bible says, will carry an eternal reward. And I believe that's so important because everybody living today is determining what your rewards will be and your position throughout eternity. You're determining that today. How valuable is every day? Brad, your thoughts?
Yeah, Christians, we should not fear Judgment Day at all. And he will wipe the tears from our eyes. His grace is sufficient, and he is our advocate. So we should never fear Judgment Day. That said, we should also not look at it as, it's just a procedural process, you know. No. It's a very serious, somber time for believers because, as Pastor Mike said, I mean, this is a time when you know, things will be brought to the surface and God will bless us for those things that hold up. And unfortunately, there's going to be many Christians who didn't take their faith seriously. They live for the world. They got, you know, the things of the world, and it's all going to burn up. And they're not going to have the eternal reward versus those who decided to grow in their relationship with the Lord and be obedient, allow the Holy Spirit to work through them for God's glory and for his pleasure. So it's an important day. It's not to be taken lightly, but it's also not a day to be feared per se for believers who who think they may not make it. No, what Jesus did on the cross was full and sufficient. It's just a matter of what we have. Will it be something that survives the flames to last for eternity, or something that will be just burned up, if you will, and not amount to anything for eternity? So I think that's really the question with regards to Judgment Day for believers.
I hope that helps.
But, I mean, I've been a Christian for many years, but it says work out your salvation with fear and trembling. But I'm saying, like, about, for example, people that say they're believers, but they still live like the world and, you know, go to church and all, but they still partake in a lot. Oh, I'm covered by grace. And we are covered by grace. But it's like, how much is too much? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I wasn't.
Yeah, cheap grace, you know. Well, hey, I'm forgiven, so let's go ahead and sin. You know, ain't no biggie. You know, kind of thing. I think that's a dangerous place to be.
Yes.
Why did Jesus, and for everybody that say, well, I don't happen to see it that way. Well, happen to see it the way Jesus sees it. Okay. And how about this? Jesus said, watch and be ready. You don't know what hour your Lord is going to come. If it doesn't make any difference, then why was Jesus telling us to watch and be ready? I mean, that goes against this idea of, hey, after slipping Jesus in my pocket, I can do what I want. What is the purpose of watching and being ready? Now, very clearly, Jesus said, I come quickly. My reward is with me. Now, again, I don't want to live my life in question marks. I want to live my life where I know that Jesus is the reason for everything that I do. I mean, we all want to be that way. But, you know, and I tell people, if you can't see Jesus doing it, don't do it. You know, and that's, I think, a really important thing. We're to be little Jesuses. They were first called Christians at Antioch. And the word Christian there means little Christ. They were making fun of us. They were calling us Jesus freaks, if you will. Oh, look at all the little Jesuses running around over there. That's what that word means. It's because they were emulating their God. And I think that's so important. Now, I believe, again, the reason many people are turned off by Christianity is because what I would call sloppy agape. You see them say one thing and do another. Now, there's an element, friends, of hypocrisy in all of us. I'm not discounting that. But we have to have a heart. And if we've offended somebody, we need to go and say, hey, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have been that way. But, you know, the Bible tells us, is very clear on the way we are to behave in our world today. Your thoughts, Brad?
Yeah, it's I always like the analogy of a marriage. If someone says, yeah, I got the marriage certificate, I'm married to her, and then doesn't spend time with her and instead cheats on her openly and says, ah, I'm married, so I don't have to worry about it. She's locked in. I got married. I can just do whatever I want. That tells me someone who doesn't really have a heart of marriage, a heart of union, and their marriage certificate will soon be invalidated in a court of law. So in the same way, people who in their hearts really believe that Jesus died for them on the cross and bore their sins on the cross, they're people who are going to respond. And when they sin, there's the Holy Spirit's going to prick them. It's going to convict them. Individuals who say, yeah, you know, I prayed my prayer a long time ago, and I can just do whatever I want, and I don't care. And there's a good chance they don't know the Lord. And I think in the book of James talks to those people very clearly, to test us as to whether or not we are true believers, whether or not we've truly put our faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. So that's something to be taken seriously, but at no time should we ever attach works to grace, but look at our works as an evidence of our faith, and is it real, and do we see God moving and working in our lives? We may have backslidden, but is God moving? Is he convicting? Or are we hard-hearted and callous and are not fazed when we openly sin against God? Those are some important questions for people in America to be asking, and I believe it's all too common of a problem.
Yeah, yeah. And so I hope that helps, Debbie.
I'm about. Yes, sir. Thank you guys so much. You have a blessed day.
You too. Stay in line. We'll send you out a book, some books, DVDs for calling in. Great to share with your friends. And with that, again, 8888-ASK-CSN. We're going to go to Tabitha, Huntsville, Alabama. Hi and welcome.
Hello.
How may we help?
Hey, guys. You can hear me?
Hi.
Yeah, so my question is, what are we thinking or what do we make of the gold-footed goat at Mar-a-Lago with the $100 bills with Trump's face? It says, in Trump we trust. Is this some kind of end times thing, or should we not be concerned, or what?
Well, I'm unaware of this. Brad, are you aware of it?
No, I'm not aware of this. And I have no comment. I haven't seen it or heard of it at all. What I'm focusing on, frankly, is as far as Trump goes, is the policies. What is he doing? Are his orders things that are biblical, or are they anti-biblical? And that's sort of really what I'm focusing on. I think some things can be a distraction as to what's more important, which is what actually is taking place and what are they actually doing. We have to be very careful as Christians, of course, to never put our full hope and trust in anyone but Jesus. And yet at the same time, we need to be looking at what a politician, what a leader is doing, and how that lines up with Scripture. I think that's the important question in evaluating any public leader.
Yeah. So from what I can tell, what you're describing a little is true. But you know, again, I think there's a lot of silly stuff that's going on right now, and I have to always go back to, it isn't what people say. It's what are they really doing? You know, every politician, when they're running for whatever office they're running for, is always conservative. And I'm for law, and I'm for order, and I'm for this, and I'm for that. And as soon as they get in, it's just a complete train wreck. Now, Trump told us, I'm going to round up the illegal aliens. I'm going to shut the border down. I'm going to go after corruption. And he's done that. Now, I applaud that because I've never seen that before. In fact, other than maybe George Washington, I don't know of any president that hit the ground running to try to fix these problems. People say, well, what's he in such a big hurry for? I believe Trump, who is a businessman, I believe he realizes that we're headed for a depression if we don't stop the insane spending. Now, when you have the American news media degrading him by the day, just degrade him, every bad thing. It's just, the American news media is rotten, okay? I think that sometimes people in his staff, people on his, inner think tanks come up with kooky ideas to boost, Trump's public image. And this may very well be, Tabitha, one of those kinds of things. Maybe not well thought out, but again, trying to compensate for, in general, the rotten American news media. I mean, I deliberately listen to them sometimes, and then I look at what the story really was, and they tell you exactly opposite, really, to what happened. They're just completely dishonest. And it is not the news. It is nothing more than propaganda. I'd like to say it's advocacy journalism, but it's not even that. It is full-on propaganda. And we have to be very, very careful with it because they lie like rugs. They just do. Mm-hmm. And so I believe that a lot of things that we see come out of the Trump team is unfortunately sometimes maybe an overreaction to trying to put Trump back in a good light again, because the American news media is part of the slime. They're part of the swamp. And the thing is, now we find in Doge that one of them, Politico, in fact, was getting money. Yeah. Wow. Nonprofit money going into the hands of a for-profit corporation? Brad, you're an attorney. How illegal is that? That is money laundering.
Well, and using our taxpayer dollars to bribe media to give a message in favor of the politics of the people in power. I see that like in maybe the former Soviet Union, Cuba, maybe Mexico. I just would never expect to see that kind of blatant corruption and abuse of tax dollars, to buy and bribe media to say certain messaging and effectively, which is what has happened. It's unbelievable corruption. And, I'm very optimistic that a lot of it's going to come to the surface. And, those who have been frauding the American people, whether it's getting Social Security when they're here illegally or
150 years old
or 150 years old and, getting it for, whatever the case is. I think we're going to see solid justice and enforcement of the law moving forward. I think it's looking at the big picture. I think we should be very pleased with that. And also even it's the concept of continued deficit and debt spending. The pandemic's over. We have no justification to continue to steal from our children. And when we add to the debt, we are stealing from our children because they have to pay for it. It is so wrong, and we should do everything we can to cut the spending, cut the waste, and have a virtuous fiscal policy. And I'm hoping we'll move in that direction.
And by the way, again, everybody that everywhere I've ever been in my life, when an audit company comes in and audits the books, the people who are stealing are the ones that are screaming how terrible they are to come in. Everything here is fine. There is no problems here, only to find them being handcuffed and hauled off in a police car. You see, they don't want an audit because they're going to get found out. And that, I believe, is really what we're seeing here. And you'd think the Democratic Party, the American news media, would be applauding finding all this waste and crazy spending. But no, it's just the opposite, which tells me, well, like my dad always said, if it doesn't make sense, it doesn't make sense. There's a whole lot more going on that you don't know about. And that's why you can't figure it out. And certainly we see that right now. Tabitha, we're out of time. I hope that answers it for you. I think just people get overzealous sometimes. And Brad, thank you so much. If you got a legal question, pji.org. Thanks, Brad.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Look forward to being back with you. And if you're in Kona on Sunday, 10 o'clock, Kona Christian Fellowship there, right off Aaliyah Drive. Love to see you at 10 o'clock. God bless you. Have a safe weekend.
To find out more about this ministry or to receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man an Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.